appreciate your prayers tonight. We definitely recognize our need of the Lord. I think the Lord needs to work in with the preacher for sure. But he needs to work with you too.
That's right.
I've been on both sides in this. And I need the Lord when I'm up here.
Yes.
And I need the Lord when I'm out there. So we need the Lord tonight.
We need the Lord.
I'd like to start with a scripture in Matthew. Eighth verse or eighth chapter. Oh, I'm sorry, 13th chapter is what I'm wanting. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. Great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into his ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. He spake many things unto them, in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he had sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprang up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, because they had no root. They withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some hundredfold, some 60, and some 30-fold. Who had ears to hear, let him hear. I wonder what the number would be of the people that have started out with the Lord that didn't finish. In our area, the number that's attempting to finish is less by a whole lot than the people that have given up. I don't believe, Brother Sam, as you said, I believe it's true, I don't believe the chapel we have could hold the number of people that started out. Somewhere in this category of people, I believe we're all in one of these categories. Somewhere.
Okay.
The Lord is so faithful.
Yes, he is.
To touch people's hearts. He's so faithful in some, maybe in some people have great opportunities of hearing the Word of God. Some people have a lot less opportunities, but I think God is faithful to sow seed. It said the sower went forth and sowed. Indiscriminately, he went forth and sowed. The gospel has its influences.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But there was people that allowed it to influence their lives.
Mm-hmm.
But only in degrees. But folks, it didn't help them any.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't help them to start and not finish. My burden tonight is that we would have an experience that would last. That we would have an experience that could not be shaken, taken away. It couldn't be moved by the circumstances, by the elements, by the storms, by the persecutions, by the events of life, the devil. None of the events that would happen, that could happen in our lives, would shake us from the experience that we have in the Lord. It is the basis, I believe, of my ministry. Is to point people to a reality. I'm not for pretense. I'm not for the plain church. I'm for the reality of it. I want to see the real thing. I know there's emotional a part of our lives, and I've been there too. I don't want to be unduly critical, but there is times that we have outreach, we have
meetings, and people will make their advance to the altar, and they'll come to the altar for help. Thank God that they do. You can't go there until you start. You're not going to make anywhere until you start off. But many times in my mind, what I'm thinking is, Lord, help them to get something. This ain't about show. It ain't about just us all hollering and waving, praise God, and feel good about the moment. Because if they don't go on, it's in vain. It doesn't matter. There's no reality to it. So my prayer is, Lord, that they get something that would be real in their life. Something to be solid. I don't care so much about the emotional side of the thing. The reality of it. That would give them something that is strong enough to withstand what's going to come on. The Lord needs to help each and every one of us that way. There was those in the 6th chapter of John that the Scripture said that walk no more with Him. They heard things from the Lord Himself. The Lord offended them by His words. I think they had a bit. They called them disciples. They had a beginning. They were starting. They were following the Lord. They was listening to Him. They had to put a certain amount of value on the Lord to have made the initial start. They saw something. It was something that moved them. They were willing to go along to start with. But then something happened that their experience that they had was not strong enough to go on. It wasn't worth it. It wasn't valuable enough. They didn't get enough of whatever. And again, I don't know about the theology of it. I'm telling you, they didn't get enough of what they had but to go on with it. Because there was some of them there that had a relationship close enough with the Lord that they went on. They heard the same words the other ones did. But when the 12 was asked about this, would you go away also? Peter answered for all of them and said, where would we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. This ain't going to offend me away. They had something to say. They had a relationship that was stronger in the Lord than the other ones had attained. And the other ones got moved away. The Scripture we read here talks about some of them have no deepness of earth. They don't root in enough. They're not serious enough. Folks, you can't play church. It don't work. You can't look around at others and measure yourself by that. This is about what I have from Jesus Christ myself. It's my experience with the Lord. It's the only thing. I believe it's the only thing that'll last. And when Jesus said to Peter and his disciples, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Mm-hmm. And they said, some say this, some say Elias, some say this. Yeah. Well, who do you say that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Yeah. And his response back is monumental. This is something that we, every one of us, need to know and remember. Because his response back to him was, his flesh and blood did not reveal that to you. You got that from a divine source. That came from heaven to you. You got that. Flesh and blood didn't reveal that. And then he said, upon this rock. Now people get that so confused. But upon this rock I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. What is it that we can get and have that the gates of hell can't prevail against? Well, the Lord said He's going to build His church. And the gates of hell wouldn't prevail on. But what did He build it on? He didn't build it on Peter.
No, He didn't.
Thank God He didn't build it on Peter. He built it on the revelation that He didn't get from flesh and blood. You know what the church of God is? It's individuals that have an experience of the Lord in their life. A revelation. I need a revelation in my soul of the Lord Jesus for me. You can preach it. You can sing about it. You can shout about it. You can write about it. You can do all that. And it's vanity if I don't have the experience of Jesus Christ in my life. A revelation of Lord personally for me. That I am saved. He met me, the Lord Jesus, the Creator of the universe, met Marty Clevenger. He saved my soul. Now, devil, you try to take that. Well, it can happen. I'm not saying that it can't. I don't believe in the doctrine sometimes that you can't lose it. But I'll say this, I also believe in a powerful salvation that you can keep through His grace.
Amen.
There is victory to the saints too.
Amen.
And He is able. But He built the church on the revelation.
Amen.
Lord, help us.
Yes.
You need a revelation. And I need a revelation.
And
we all need a revelation. And the church is the church because of the revelation to the soul. Yours, mine, we collectively. And then I can come and say something like, the brother said, and it rang with me. The brother just simply said, the Lord can heal. The Lord's a healer. And I said, amen. I've had that revelation. I've heard others testify about it.
Yes.
But it's made real because He's worked that in my life.
Yeah, that's right.
He's helped us in our family and ours, and to the point that it's a revelation to me that that's real. See, that's real.
Yes, it is. Yes.
Over in Luke 10th chapter,
mm-hmm.
38th verse. Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care? I love when these people accuse the Lord of not caring. Dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. You know, I can't think of one place in the Bible where somebody came to criticize somebody else to the Lord and they got by with it. I mean, that it actually worked. You remember the guy that comes and says to the Lord, hey, tell my brother to share the inheritance. You remember what he said? Beware of covetousness. He didn't tell him she's going to share anything. He looked at him and said, you beware of covetousness. Looks to me like a little covetousness is here. You better be careful of covetousness. It's not.
Yeah.
Your brother that's going to keep you out of heaven, it's your covetousness that's going to do it.
Right.
You ought to be more concerned about your covetousness than you are about this.
Right.
You need your revelation of the Lord right here, brother.
Yeah.
Martha comes. Martha wasn't a bad part. And the Lord just barely chided her here. He wasn't coming down hard on hard. Martha was somebody that loved the Lord. And what she was doing it out of a love for the Lord. But she added a little mess up when she come to the Lord trying to get something changed here with this. It was actually her that needed critiquing. Fine-tuned. Martha needed fine-tuned a little bit. And the Lord never did say anything about Mary's conduct. I think if Mary would have went to Jesus about Martha's conduct, that He would have fine-tuned Mary. This is a side note, but you better be careful who you're talking about, because the Lord ain't going to deal with it the other way. He's going to deal with you, because He wants you to have a revelation. He wants your revelation to be full. You'll never be benefited by what something else is happening over here. Never. Lord, help us. But He says to her, and Jesus answered and said unto her, you know, in the human though, don't we think, I mean, now be honest, we know how this reads so we can be spiritual. But isn't it true in the flesh that we look at that and say, Mary ought to have been helping Martha? Come on. This is I've been in too many of these kind of places. I know that we're going to say, hey, she should have been helping. There's work to be done. Why ain't she helping?
Uh-huh.
Well, Jesus says this. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha. Be careful anytime you hear your name twice.
Yes.
Martha, Martha. Thou art careful and troubled about many things. You're getting anxious, Martha. You're getting carried away. You're getting too far. You're getting carried away with this. I want more out of you than this. Martha,
yeah.
Do you realize that if you keep this attitude all your life,
mm-hmm.
what it's going to be like going around doing critiquing everybody?
Right.
what it's going to be like if this is your concern about what other people's doing, how you're going to run your life. Martha, Martha. Martha, Martha, you're going to lose your peace. But one thing is needful. Now, this is interesting. Adam Clark said that this one thing is needful, that we stress that. Most people stress that in this as this one thing that's needful. But many versions don't even have it in it. But he said this about this verse. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part. And he says that the power and the emphasis is on which shall not be taken away from her. Because the idea is that Martha, you can do great things, many things, or just do one, which is needful. Because really, we only need one thing to eat. We don't need this banquet right here. You're overdoing yourself. But regardless of that, it doesn't matter. It ain't going to last. Do you know how many people put their hearts and affections and mind on things that's not going to last? How much they fight for things of this earth and it's not going to last? How many times they want big bank accounts? You can't take that with you. How much? What does it matter to get through life with? That's practical. It's rational. And but that's not the way we think. We think we've got to have some more. These people that make these millions and billions of dollars, they can't get enough. One was asked, how much is enough? And they said, a little bit more. How many lifetimes is it going to take you to spend the money that you've got? Well, you don't have that many lifetimes. So you put your heart on it, and this is what the emphasis of it is. Mary is getting a revelation and an experience that will be eternal. Mary's going to have something that when the devil comes, he's going to have something to fight with. When the opposition comes, she's going to have something that's going to secure her. She's going to have something that's going to be able to fight the battles with. She's going to have something that's going to make sense to her in those kind of times. She's sitting at Jesus' feet. She's loving Him. She's learning of Him. She's learning to trust Him and believe in Him and all the words that He says. And she's getting that through her spirit. And you know what? It's going to be rock solid. It's going to be something that can't be taken away. It can't be stolen. Folks, I want to emphasize tonight that we learn that this is about me and the Lord. My contact with the Lord. I know this is the church is a collective body of people that have a revelation of the Lord in their hearts. And then we can come and we make sense to one another, don't we?
Yeah.
Why do we have fellowship? Because we all have the same kind of socks on. We comb our hair all the same way. We have a uniform on. We march in a certain way. None of those things are true. We're so different. This collection of people, the background of the people here is enormous. You think of the background that we have right here. Is it possible that we can have fellowship together with the background that we have, the different ideas? Yeah. You know why? Because when you stand up and say something about what the Lord did for you, it's the same Lord to me. When I have fellowship with Him and you have fellowship, when you walk in the light and I walk in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and all those things are indifferent to us. And there's a power that hurts because I have the revelation. But what happens is that I don't have the revelation of the Lord trying to make fellowship. I tell you what we try to do. Beware. We start saying, well, if I've got my collar buttoned down, you better button yours down. We want to be alike. How are we going to have fellowship when I button my collar down and you don't button yours down? There's no way to have fellowship with you people. It's not about that. It's about the revelation of the Lord. Mary was getting something that could not be taken from her. It wasn't of this earth. It wasn't the earthly things. Martha, you can struggle around with this, and when we eat the food, it'll be gone, and you'll be struggling again. But what Mary's got is eternal. And you can go on, and I'm going to tell you, we pride ourselves sometimes in a strong person, or I'm a smart person, or a capable person. And then comes this what we call time, and time comes and robs it all from us. I was so smart at one time, and now I can't even put two cents. I've seen it happen. Can't put two sentences. Listen, I love Brother Leslie, and he was a gifted man. Brother Leslie was a gifted man with an incredible mind. And he gave that mind to the Lord. And I appreciated what he could do. And the scriptures that he had within his mind and memory, he could preach message after message and never even look at his Bible and get it right. And his understandings was all that. But do you know, I seen that man get old. And one of the puzzling times was, I remember, and you can imagine the way Brother Leslie used to be. He said, and that reminds me of a song. And he went, well, I forgot it. And I was like, I never thought Brother Leslie forgot songs. It was taken away from him. It was taken away from him. His ability started sliding away, all those things. But you know, he had something that didn't leave. He had something that can't be taken away. Thank God, it can't be taken away. That was the experience he had with the Lord. It can't be taken away. That's what each and every one of us need to pursue. It isn't so much about us getting together and saying, let's work this out, brother. We need to work it out. Yeah, that's true. There's a way of doing it. The Bible gives us a definition. But you know what we need to work out first? You'll never get it right. We'll never get it right until I got it right and you got it right. Then we can get it right. That's the way we need to start. Let's look at another scripture in John 9th chapter. I want to start about 13. So they brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. Now this was the brother that the Lord came by and healed, you remember? And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, he put clay upon my eyes, and I washed, and I do see. Therefore, said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. They say unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him that he opened thine eyes? He said, he is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked him, saying, is this your son who you say was born blind? How then doth he now see? His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him. He shall speak for himself. These words spake his parents, because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore said his parents, he is of age, ask him. Then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. You know, they tried awful hard, didn't they? I mean, you know, you can talk about diligence. They was diligent. They asked him, and he told them. Then they come back and ask him again. And he told them again. So then they went to his parents to ask the parents. So the parents told them. And so then they come back and said to him again. They're very diligent in the pursuit, and don't believe that the devil isn't diligent in your pursuit too. He's going to try to get you not to believe what you've got. He's going to have a lot of ways of doing it. He's going to have a lot of ambassadors. He's going to have a lot of reasons and a lot of things to make you think that what you've got isn't real, or what you thought you had isn't real, or it's of your imagination, or it's just some old story, or it's something that happened. That's why it needs to be strong enough. It needs to be powerful enough that it can withstand what the devil's trying to do. So,
They say to this guy, he said, you know, that they got down to the point, I don't think, you know, it was really like politicians here. They got it weaseled down, and they finally got an out here, the only out that we can have. There's too many people witnesses and testifying that this guy was blind from his birth. So we're not going to be able to say they were trying to convince people that he was a charlatan. Now, he wasn't really blind, they said. That's what they said. He wasn't really blind. We're going to pull that. When that didn't work, they said, well, this is the best we can do. We know. You see how we do? We know. You know how important truth is? Lord, help us to want to know the truth about everything. God is a God of truth. He hates every false way. That is in what we're doing here, in everything that we do. God is a God of truth, not of falseness. Lord, help us to want the truth. But we know already, we know, that this man's a sinner. If they'd have been honest, they'd have stopped right there, wouldn't they? And said, we need to explore the idea that this man was blind. And by a supernatural event, he was made whole. We need to know more about this. But no, they had an agenda to fill. He says then, then again called they the man that was blind and said it to him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. But one thing I know. One thing I know. I know. I know. You got to understand. I know. To know something is to be convinced of a truth. That's a simple definition. To be convinced of a truth. You don't know it if you're not convinced of it, even if it's true. And if it's not true, you can't know it because it's false. But to be convinced of the truth is what knowing is. And he said, I know. I know. I was blind. And now I see. Now I want to ask you something. You think you could come up to him and say, listen, I believe you really wasn't born blind. And this is what I believe happened. I believe you got confused. And you really could see, but you just... How are you going to tell a blind man he was of age? Best I remember, that's over 30 at that time. He's of age. You talk for yourself. Well, how are you going to convince him that he wasn't blind? Or better yet, how are you going to come and say, yeah, I believe you was blind. The testimony's there. But do you realize you really can't see? You really can't see like you think you can. How are you going to take this experience from this man? You can't take it from him. There's no way. It's too powerful. It's too strong. It's too definite. He's got an experience that will last him. And I'm going to tell you something else. You can read on. But he also knew who performed it to. He also knew who it came. And by the mercy he had in him, put that on him and healed him. And he knew who it was. And they could even say, you know, it was quite a coincidence that you just started seeing after that guy put clay on there. He's going to say, you believe what you want to believe. Brother Gordon Humphrey told me one time, said he was years ago, he was traveling along, him and his wife come back from a meeting, said they did not have enough money to put gas in the car. And it was running empty. And he knew he couldn't get all the way home on what they had. So they get to praying. And they're just praying, and what are you going to do? And they're praying, going down the highway, praying, praying. And finally he's getting desperate that he knows he can't go much farther. He didn't want to run out of gas. And he didn't think he could go much farther. So he told his wife, said, I'm going to pull over here and pray. So he pulled over and he got out of the car and he said he was going to go pray. He said, I walked over there, Brother Marty, and I looked down. And he said there was a $20 bill laying on the ground. And he said, I don't know what other people thought of that, but he said, I think that was the Lord. I said, Brother Gordon, I think you're right. I think that was the Lord, and you can believe what you want to, but I believe that was the Lord. I don't know how he done it. I don't know if that was he blew out of a car. I don't know how the Lord does what he does, but he can do what he wants to do. He knew where that 20 was at. He knew how to get Brother Gordon and that 20 connected together. That's just God. He's able to do those things for us. You need an experience like that. You need an experience to where God has done something that's definite for you in your life.
It's not enough to hear me tell it to you, or your pastor tell it, or even your mom tell it, or your dad tell it. Young people, you need the experience to where God answered your prayer, to where you can say to the devil, "That was the Lord. That was the Lord that met me in there." Do you remember a man named Nathaniel in the Bible? And Nathaniel Jesus said who was no God, he was a true Israelite. But here he was, but he was skeptical. He has a right to be. You should be too. There's all kinds of things in this world. You should be skeptical and only want the truth. Well, he was skeptical. And they went to him and said, "Come and see the one. Come and see the Christ. Come and see the one. Can there anything good thing come out of Galilee?" He comes and Jesus sees him coming and says this about him, these good words about him, and he said, How do you know me?" And Jesus said, "I was with you under the fig tree."
That's right.
You know, we don't know really what that means. Ain't a lot of definition to that.
Yeah.
But it's pretty obvious. There was a man that met the Lord under the fig tree. And his experience there was not haphazard or indifferent, or just, it was powerful. And when Jesus spoke that to him, he knew what it meant. "My Lord, I know you are it, because that's where I've been. That's the experience I have." What do you think the devil is going to come along and say, "You know, this guy here, he's not the real thing"? And the thing is going to say, "Devil, you get out of here. He's done witness to me. This is a true witness. This is the Lord. He come for my life. Come to help me." There's different experiences in salvation. Some seem to be more dynamic in its beginnings, stronger in its beginnings. That isn't the important part. The important part is that we meet the Lord with it. That it's the Lord that deals with it. The Lord knows how to do it for each and every one of us. He knows how to do it for you. He knows exactly what you need in your life. Well, in this passage, there was a blind man. The Lord had mercy on the blind man. And I'll say this of my experience. I want it to always be true. I was blind one time. And thank God, I see now. I had things and directions and things in my life. I've went through a lot of battles, had a lot of failures, done things I should have done, said things I should have said. But I'll say this, never gave it a serious thought about going back on the Lord. Never gave it a serious thought. I'm like Peter. Where would I go? I've already put this much time invested in it. Be ashamed to lose out now. Nothing I had but more of the Lord for me. That's what I want in it. Want an experience to hold it though. I want to have something to hold it. Yesterday, things don't always last, folks. We need a renewal of it. Your experience needs to be freshened all the time. A fresh experience. Keep with the fresh experience. Fresh experience. But yet, we look back to those times as powerful. We look back as a remembering. As an Ebenezer, we look back to be able to remember a monument. Something that I can say. There is where the Lord met me. You know, that's why they did that in the Bible. You remember the children of Israel crossing the Jordan? And they was commanded to make a monument in the middle of the river. Take 12 stones. And they made a monument. But then they was directed to make a monument on the other bank when they got out to make that. You know, I understand that real well as a surveyor for a year, and I understand it real well. There was times that the property corner was called for in the middle of the river. Well, you can put in low water, you can put a corner out there if you want, but you can't get it to stay. But so online. Outside on the place, where it'll last. You put the monument, directing it to the monument in the middle of the river. That's what they did. They put a monument and said, "These stones in this monument was got out of the middle of the river, and this is representing one that's in the middle of the river because we built it when there was no water flowing in it." That's the only way you could have put it out there. There was no water. And the monument was held. And I can imagine in my mind coming by and some young boy says, "Daddy, what's the meaning of this? There's some stones piled up here." "Oh, son, let me tell you. I was in on that." You could go back all the way back around. The Lord took him through and brought him up to the age and got him up to that point. And the Lord when they stepped into the water that split open and they walked over, and there's a miracle of God. The children wasn't there, but it was the appetite. I got an experience. I laid my hands on those stones. There's the monument. You can believe it. God's real. We need those kind of experiences in our life. I want to tell you something. God isn't through. God will be faithful all the way. I believe that the healing will last as long as this earth, as long as there's faithful people to accept it and believe it. I believe the power of God will save people as long as there's a heart to receive salvation. Because He's a faithful God. He's going to work and He's going to deal. But it's our hearts. Are we willing? 2017, are we willing to have that kind of a dynamic experience? Lord, help us. Another scripture I'd like to look at, Acts 9. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went into the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go unto the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Now, Paul, you believe that? Oh, much learning has made thee mad. No, it didn't. No, it didn't. What happened to me was I was on the road to Damascus. You know, I believe, and you can find the quotings of this, and you can find Paul using this, the foundation and power of his ministry was in this experience. He pointed back when we had to say to the Jews, why did you turn coat on us? Brother, it wasn't that I turned on my people. He said, I would give myself for my people. You know what he said? I was on the road to Damascus. You can't fight God. You can't fight God. That's why I done what I done. It wasn't out of a hatred or anything about the people. It was because I can't fight God. God came and He shone a light around me, struck me blind. And He talked to me and He worked with me and He's real in my life. He saved my soul. And He gave me the power to live this life. And I can't deny it anymore. I can't deny it. Lord, help us not to deny it. We need an experience. You may not get a Damascus experience like this, but you've got to have one. You've got to have one. You've got to have a place to where you start your testimony with. That I was undone. I was in sin. I was undone. I was a young man without purpose. I was into all kinds of things. And the Lord dealt with my heart. And the Lord brought me to an altar of prayer. And the Lord saved my soul. And I was there when it happened. And I guess I ought to know. Right? I got the right to testify of my testimony. I got a right to say the devil's a liar because I know where the Lord saved me at. I got an experience of what the Lord wants to do. You got to have one too. We all got to have an experience like that. I want to tell you, the Lord wants to work with us as we go through this life with more and more and more experiences. Step out. Step out. Don't be afraid to step out. Because it's in the stepping out. It wasn't until those priest's feet hit the water until it spread. I'm going to tell you, God's got experiences. Oh, if I wouldn't
attempt to keep you here as long as I could tell you the things that I positively believe that the Lord done for me in my life. And in my ministry, the Lord has done things to prove Himself over and over and over, and performed miracles and performed miracles and worked things out that I look and just say, the wonders of God and how God works in our lives and how things bring this. You don't have to do it. God is in control of it. And the experiences that we get by that, when we get anxious about something and the Lord takes care of it, what am I going to do? And the Lord steps in and gives us these experiences over and over.
Yes, He does.
I got some favorite experiences. I got some things. And my ministry is so good. We was out on a trip one time. I was out for quite a while. We got home and my wife said, I said, and the children said, we said, it's time to be home. My wife said, I couldn't even think of going out of here again. Then Brother Darrell called. Brother Marty, are you coming to our meeting? I said, Brother Darrell, no. And I wasn't ashamed to do it that way either. No, I'm not coming. Oh, now he said, you answered hastily. And we talked a little while. I'm going to tell you, the Lord, as He was talking, started the passion, the desire started coming. And he kept talking. And says, and it kept coming. And finally, I got to the point that I said, Brother Darrell, would you mind if I take back that quick statement I made? No, he said. I said, let me call you back. I get off the phone and say to my wife, honey, I think we're going to Dallas. And she said, praise the Lord. She didn't get it on her too. At the same time, is that God?
That's God.
I turned from where I was at, walked into the bathroom to the sink, and the Lord spoke to me and said, they need to mature. Yes. Speak maternity.
Yes.
I'm going to tell you what. I went to Dallas with my head up, with a burden to know what to do, how to do it. And I went to call Brother Darrell back, and I said, Brother Darrell, we're coming to the meeting. And he said, well, he said, Brother Marty, I didn't want to tell you on the phone, but I've been fasting and praying that the Lord would send you down here. It worked. He didn't say that. He didn't have to say that, because we have a God that wants us to know who He is. Somebody said one time something about ministers that telegraph their intent at the meetings to who's going to preach. My answer back to them was this: I need this more than you do. I need to know that the Lord is leading me. I'm not telegraphing. I don't want the brothers to telegraph it. I want the Lord to lead, because I need Him to lead.
Right.
I need to trust in His leader, because He's always done it. He's always done it well. And there's no fraud or anything in this, because we need the leadership of the Lord. We need the experience.
Amen.
We need the revelation that God is working in our life. And you know how He works?
Yeah.
Oh, He wants to make Himself real into our life. I want to tell you what He wants to do.
Yeah.
A man named Saul had an experience that changed his identity.
Yeah.
He was a Pharisee of the Pharisee.
Yeah.
He was a persecutor of the Church of God. And his name was Saul. And he became one of the most blessed workers of the gospel named Paul. He changed his name. We need an experience that changes our name. Changes who we are. Changes everything about us. It changes us. There was a man named Jacob one time. He met the Lord and it changed him. It changed his name. The experience changed him from that old supplanter, that old deceiving person, and changed him into that faithful Israel. It altered him. Abram met God, and he was Abraham, the one with God.
That's
when they meet God, when you get the experience, folks, it changes something fundamental about us. It gives us an experience. Now, I'm interested in this because I hate the idea. I really hate the idea that we're going to lose people. I don't want to see anybody go away from the Lord. I know this is right. I don't want to see the young people get snatched out by the world. I don't want confusion coming. I will tell you something that'll doesn't eliminate the idea of confusion, but it eliminates confusion in your own life.
Yes.
Because instead of me looking and saying that there's this confusion, I can just say people's confused. Because I ain't confused. I may be confused about things, but I'm not confused about Christ and what He's done for me and the reality of what the Lord wants to do in my life. I'm not confused about that. Upon this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Mary was at His feet. Paul had a Damascus experience. Peter said, to whom would we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. All of these things build up to me into this idea. I'm going to share something with you. I've shared different places. When I talk to the Lord about, Lord, what do you want? I do this at home quite a bit. In my mind, I'm thinking, Lord, I want you to speak your thoughts. You're the only one that could look down on a group of people and be able to give something that is what they need. I couldn't do it. Nobody can do it. If you could look by the vessel and accept the idea that God is giving us His thoughts about our lives and saying to us, come on, my child. Allow me to give you an experience that will go through the ages. Let me give you... You yield yourself to me. And I'll give you an experience that cannot be taken away. I'll give you an experience to where I become so real to you and your soul that you wouldn't give it up for anything. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.